Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 94. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
So, I finally saw The Revenant last night, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it in as well as another Best Picture nominee in the context of the Best Picture race. Going forward, it may be helpful. I probably won't put this in the description of the show, but it may be helpful to note that we may be discussing spoilers for The Revenant as well as The Big Short. But kind of what's on my mind, and something that you and I have talked a little bit about via text, started with the general reception of The Revenant at first, and then kind of continued with the wonderful annual tradition of the brutally honest Oscar voter articles that come out. And the one that came out yesterday, I believe, basically had this Oscar voter with this agenda against The Revenant. Did you read that article?
I did.
What was his kind of, or this person's, his or her, what was the general feeling about The Revenant in that article?
Well, it seemed to sort of toe this really disturbing company line that seems to follow an anti-Alejandro González Iñárritu agenda of sorts. And I don't like to use that word, especially in the context of these sort of politicized Oscar campaigns or the way people sort of generally feel about art. But based on last year's success that Birdman had at the Oscars and obviously the impending success of The Revenant at this year's, because it looks like it will win more than one Oscar, possibly in major categories, it's hard not to sense this sort of bitterness among movie fans who have just sort of, as a rule, decided to hate whatever Alejandro González Iñárritu makes, whether or not it's good or whether or not they may honestly feel like it's a good movie. It doesn't really matter at this point. If he has made the movie, if his name is on it, then the movie is crap. And I've seen people who have fallen in line with that thinking, that they've conceded these like tiny percentages of what they say is a competently made movie in The Revenant. And to me, that's their way of sort of admitting that it's a good movie, but they have to uphold this weird and bizarre mindset, or else their pals who also hate Alejandro González Iñárritu will sort of jump on them and cast them out of this club. And I got a sense that the brutally honest Oscar voter, whose card must be revoked soon, although I think that he falls in line with most Oscar voters at this point based on many of those that we've read, I think he falls in line here, and he seems to dislike The Revenant for reasons that have nothing to do with the actual film itself. In fact, I mean, this guy who wrote this, who is obviously anonymous, said many times, at least once, I know that he said he did not see some of the Oscar-nominated movies, including a movie like Mad Max Fury Road, which was arguably the most talked-about movie of 2015. And at one point in the piece, he says that he's going to vote for something in a category, something like sound editing or art direction or whatever the category is. He's going to vote for something other than The Revenant simply because he wants to stop The Revenant's momentum, and he's rooting against The Revenant. And for me, Ben, I'm sure that you probably share the same, you know, in this case, values when it comes to picking and choosing your favorite films of the year. Instead of denigrating another movie, I personally choose to prop up the movies that I love, and I just can't really understand why somebody like that would choose to, you know, trip up the momentum of a movie like The Revenant instead of sort of backing up their vote with something like, you know what, I just prefer this movie.
Yeah, I mean, you were very delicate in your use of the word agenda, which is good because that's not a word to throw around. But in this individual's case, that is the clear definition of an agenda. You know, when you're using things against something, just to communicate this ideal that you have. It's weird, and I feel like my perspective is somewhat unique in that I'm a person that cares about movies. I care about the Oscar race, but I apparently don't care enough to not have seen The Revenant until it's basically right up until the best, you know, the Academy Awards and the film being pulled from theaters. But basically The Revenant for me, since before its release really, has existed as this social media meme about that it's basically this vanity project on the part of Leonardo DiCaprio, where this self-indulgent director who feels he is an artist but probably isn't really, is indulging this actor in his vanity project, and basically all it deserves is our snark. All it deserves is, you know, we need to make fun of it and say, well, movies aren't just good because they're hard to make. And there's a little bit of truth to that, obviously. But I think that the overwhelming response to The Revenant has been social media snark. It may suggest that we don't deserve great movies. And I'm not going to say that The Revenant is necessarily an all-time great movie, but I do think it's a really good movie, and it's really well crafted, and it's very important in terms of cinematic language. It's important in that this is an artist, a director, who I don't have a great track record with. I don't love all of his movies, but I have to be objective when I say that this is a guy that not only did he go out in the woods for a long time and make a very difficult movie. All movies are difficult to make, but here he made one that was extremely difficult to make, never broke out of the reality of the moment that he was in, allowed his actors to be honest in those moments, and also communicated things visually in terms of narrative and theme that I can only describe as pure cinema. And I have this bad feeling that if we react to these purely cinematic movies from our auteurs, if we just react to them with snark and say, what else you got, or oh, it was gonna suck to begin with, or oh, you're just indulging an actor, then I feel like all we deserve are glorified TV shows that are put together in the editing room and that are shallow and entertaining. And I'm not necessarily saying that The Big Short is that exactly, because I do think The Big Short is a good movie, but I feel like if we don't pay attention and hold up movies like, again, purely cinematic movies like Bridge of Spies and Mad Max Fury Road, if we don't hold those up in favor of flavor of the month topic movies like The Big Short, we're going to get what we deserve. Am I being a little too harsh there?
No, yes and no, because like you said, The Big Short is a good movie, and this is not about crapping on The Big Short, but I've told you before that I just don't think that The Big Short belongs in the same conversation, just strictly from a filmmaking standpoint, as
absolutely
the movies you mentioned, and that includes The Revenant, which is a wholly cinematic experience, in what I think is a great movie, in fact. But that being said, a lot of people like The Big Short, and that's fine. And if they want to prop that movie up this year, then that's I'm totally fine with that. I just personally, out of the 8 nominated films in the Best Picture category, to me it is the one very obvious outlier. And so in that regard, I don't necessarily understand why The Big Short has so much momentum going into Sunday night and is a Best Picture contender and is not necessarily likely to win, but has as good a shot as any of the major contenders, especially considering it won the Producers Guild Award, which has predicted every Best Picture winner since 2007. So it's very possible that it could happen and it could beat out all 7 of those movies, which I think are not only better, but in a way, kind of like you said, feel more like actual movies than this sort of renaissance in TV-level filmmaking we're seeing creeping into this medium. So in a way, that's kind of unfortunate, but again, I do like it, and it sounds like, yeah, and I want this to be, I don't want this to come off as a Revenant versus Big Short conversation, but that's kind of what the narrative has sort of turned into leading up to Sunday night. And as big movie fans, way less so than Oscar fans, that to me is sort of the sad part of the whole Oscar process, is when you pit movies against each other, great movies against each other. The most glaring example that I can think of is 2010, when The King's Speech beat The Social Network, which was at one point the presumptive favorite and was certainly my favorite movie of that year. But once The King's Speech started riding all this new momentum and became the new presumptive Best Picture winner, it made me hate The King's Speech. And The King's Speech,
yeah.
The King's Speech is a great movie. I love that movie. So in retrospect, I think it really hurt the experience of not only a movie fan who loves the movies and also loves to watch these ridiculous Oscars and award ceremonies play out, but that's just sort of what it has evolved into at this point. And I know that Oscar politicking has been going on for a long time, way back into perhaps the 1920s when they came to exist, but it's gotten very nasty over the years. And the same is true for The Revenant and The Big Short. And what I hope doesn't get left out, Spotlight, the other likely, you know, winner on Sunday night, but that's just kind of the way it is at this point, and I don't like comparing the two because they're completely different movies, completely different levels of filmmaking and styles from very specific directors who have very specific voices, but that's kind of where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'll ever back off of the belief that the Oscars, in their current form and in the form that they've existed for a long time, are harmful to movies in general. I don't think the Oscars are an overwhelmingly positive thing. However, I also believe that about American politics and the two-party system, and I can't tell you that both aren't extremely entertaining to watch and engage in discussion about, or pro wrestling. You know, those three things go hand in hand in my book. Unfortunately, that's what the Oscars do. They pit these movies together or against one another. And right now it does seem like, I mean, you and Craig get paid an awful lot more than me to prognosticate about this kind of stuff. But I think, yeah, it's clear. It seems like there's a triple threat going on right now between The Revenant, Big Short, and Spotlight. And based on what I'm seeing kind of in that Oscar voter and just the general climate, it does seem like The Big Short has the most momentum. I think that there is a anti-Revenant movement, and I think that people are going to forget about Spotlight. I mean, for the record, I think of those three movies, I think I would go with Spotlight because it kind of gives you both. You know, it's cogent, it's timely, it's important, but it's also a exquisitely crafted movie, quietly crafted in the hands of a really great filmmaker. So you get, it is a uniquely cinematic movie and has uniquely cinematic moments. And I don't want to say that The Big Short doesn't have those. In fact, I think the first hour of The Big Short is one of the most propulsive movies I've seen in a long time. I just feel like that it kind of peters out and it relies on, you know, handheld close-ups of people saying things about what's going on rather than truly, you know, movie moments to communicate a story in its last hour, which I feel like Spotlight does much more carefully and in a much more controlled and mature way. And, of course, I think The Revenant is so visually driven that it doesn't have much dialogue at all. But yeah, unfortunately, that's the narrative right now, and I feel like, again, for me, I have less of a bone to pick with The Big Short itself than I do with the even outside of the Oscars, the ongoing dialogue about movies. And like you said, these agendas that people have, and our willingness to dismiss this, you know, very, very, this huge achievement that The Revenant is. I mean, again, it's not a great, I would maybe give it a 4 out of 5. I have bones to pick with the movie in terms of thematic coherence or at least thematic consistency. I feel like, you know, the story is maybe shallow in ways that you kind of wished it wasn't, but at the same time, I don't think story is the primary end of cinema. I think it should be going for a little bit bigger. So I feel like it's not a perfect movie. We don't all have to sit up and say that The Revenant is the next Citizen Kane. But I do think we all need to, I think as movie fans, we have a responsibility to stand up and say, yes, this is an achievement, and it is actually disrespectful to this medium that we love to just dismiss it as self-indulgent or some sort of ego-driven exercise by its filmmakers. I feel like that is, and all for the service of our Twitter feed. You know, I think it's infuriating, the laziness and the presumptuousness that takes, and I expect more from honest movie fans.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair with this whole agenda-laden conversation, like, if you have a favorite movie of the year and you have a film that you want to win Best Picture, no matter how much you like all the other movies, then you have a spark of an agenda, at least, in that you're pulling for at least one movie to beat all of the others, right? So everybody kind of has their own agenda. And look, Ben, it's been so long since I've seen The Revenant that it's going to be hard for me to sort of conjure up, you know, how I felt about it way back when I saw it. I know you just saw it last night, but, you know, that's okay. But, no, I think that it is – I think it goes way deeper than you may be giving it a little credit for. I wouldn't call it shallow at all. I think it has
– No, I'm not – as a film, let me back up. As a film, I don't think it's shallow at all. I'm just saying the story –
No, I mean story in the themes, too. Like, I think that it has a lot to say, and it's really effective and – affecting, and what bugs me too is like you said, people have assumed or blamed or accused the movie of indulging an actor like Leonardo DiCaprio, who will probably win his first Oscar for this performance. And I've read a few articles this week about how Leo deserved to win for movies like Wolf of Wall Street and Catch Me If You Can, these movies where he actually has a lot of dialogue and has to use wit and charm and has to, you know, deliver on these more dialogue heavy scripts as opposed to The Revenant where he doesn't say anything. Well, there is this thing called physical performance.
Yes.
And it's something that I think that he excels at in The Revenant, and, you know, something that we love and have talked a lot about on Film Nerds Unlimited is nonverbal storytelling, you know, and we see it a lot in animation, especially these days. And you see it sometimes in live action, and I think it's a little few and far between now that we see it, but you get so much of it in The Revenant, and I think that they communicate so much in that movie by saying so little, and Leo deserves a lot of credit. Yes, he put himself and everybody on the crew and blah, 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 put themselves through hell to make the movie, and that has become sort of the dominant narrative of people who support it and the people who hate it in using that as this excuse to bash it, and that it's like, why should we care about this just because you guys insist that it was hard to make? I kind of wish that had become more of a subplot than it has lately, but like you said earlier in this podcast, it's true, and they do deserve a lot of credit for pulling off what they did in the conditions that they did, and he deserves a lot of credit, like many actors before him, for letting a performance take a physical toll on him to serve the story, which I think that, you know, you can say what you want about Leo, and I know a lot of people have a lot of snarky things to say about perhaps him personally and some of the acting even that he's done over the years, but I think in large part, he really cares about the movies he makes, and the performances that he gives are there to serve their respective stories, and I think that is definitely true for The Revenant too, and I think that this is a great story worth telling, and I'm glad that he put his all and as much as he could into it, because I consider this one of the great new adventure movies, survivor movies. I think that this is probably Alejandro González Iñárritu's best overall movie, the one that I at least liked the most, and I think it's a staggering achievement that he's probably going to win a second straight Best Directing Oscar and possibly a second straight Best Picture Oscar. So, I mean, there's so much to appreciate in this movie. And, you know, look, you mentioned American politics, right? And we're in the midst of a ridiculous presidential campaign, primary campaign especially, where you have these parties like Democrats and Republicans, respectively, who have multiple candidates. And at this point, as Democrats, you sort of have to split within the party and back your candidate, right? And that's kind of like what this movie in Oscar situation is like, where we're all big movie fans, but at some point we have to split off and pick our movie and support it until the end. I mean, that's kind of the same with the primary thing, and then we all have to become Democrats or Republicans again once we land on that one candidate. But in the meantime, it's going to get really ugly, and people are going to pick and choose, and people are going to bash and prop up, and it's just going to be this ugly cycle until we all get back on the same page, and it just takes way too long to get there, and it's an ugly process.
Yeah, and I feel like there may not be a get back together. I mean, if The Revenant wins, it's going to be considered by these people that have that hated it since before it came out. It's going to be considered like a crash level disappointment, you know? And
I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, but that's what the Oscars do, and that's why they're harmful, is that they, honestly, I'm as guilty with as anybody. I mean, the way I talk about Crash is not the way I should talk about a movie as good as Crash is. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the reason I talk about it that way is because of that Oscar race.
Yeah,
because of the Oscar race that year, because it beat Brokeback Mountain and Munich and Goodnight and Good
Luck. Were better than Crash.
Right, yeah.
But I really like Crash. And, you know, the only
movie. Yeah.
The only movie for the past, I did a list recently of, yeah, I ranked the past 25 Best Picture winners. The only one that I don't really like very much is Chicago. But I know that a lot of people loved it. And most people consider it a really fun musical seen on the big screen, translated well on the big screen. I don't personally feel that way. It's just not my cup of tea necessarily. But for the most part, I've really liked all of the Best Picture winners that we've seen over the past 25 years. And most of the time, they're good movies. I mean, otherwise, they wouldn't be in the Best Picture conversation. Now, I don't know what would have happened, say, if a movie like American Hustle had won Best Picture, if I'd be saying the same thing, because there are movies that are nominated that I'm not that fond of. I don't know, honestly, if I'm going to fall into that category if and when The Big Short wins Best Picture on Sunday. Am I going to be one of those people who looks back and says, that's one of the worst Best Picture movies of all time? I hope not, because I'll be losing the context of, you know what, it's actually a pretty good movie that, again, a lot of people really like, but because it has that label of Best Picture of the Year, and this is a reflection of how fans in Hollywood and these ridiculous voters who, and I hate to lump them all into the same category, because we get so few of these brutally honest Oscar ballots that we were talking about before. But, I mean, if these films winning Best Picture are a reflection of what voters like that think, then the whole system is just useless. So, again, you're right. It's harmful, but we just have to maintain our sort of sobriety as movie lovers and consider the context and consider the movies themselves instead of this Oscar process, which is a lot of fun, but if you get too caught up in it, it doesn't really it's hard to word here, but it just doesn't really reward you as a moviegoer. Instead, you become a campaigner and you become somebody who has forgotten the point of these movies in the first place, that they're art that should be enjoyed for very different reasons.
Yes, enjoyed and discussed. Yeah, exactly. You're becoming a marketer for a movie instead. And again, I'll close, bring it back to this Twitter thing and try to, again, explain and communicate something about The Revenant. The fact that I just I just would love for serious movie fans to, you know, put down their phones for a second and stop thinking about how they're going to hashtag or sarcastically react to a movie and enjoy it, because you mentioned Leonardo DiCaprio's performance, and there is a moment in The Revenant that is truly masterful from a filmmaking standpoint, but also from a performance standpoint, and it's this dream sequence where Leonardo DiCaprio finds his now deceased son in this old burned out church, and his son just kind of walks up to him through the standing water, which has a great meaning in the movie. And basically they embrace, and there's a close up of DiCaprio's face, and it's amazing. It's truly great silent acting. You see everything on his face in that moment, and it's not the flashy, you know, screaming, pulling himself out of a grave kind of moment that a lot of people take away from the film. It's quiet, it's honest, and it's. I mean, I understand a lot of people have trouble seeing DiCaprio, who has grown up on the big screen as this kind of old grizzled mountain man, or not old, but this grizzled mountain man. But in that moment, all of the facade disappeared, and I just saw a parent and his son, you know, reunited. And I feel like the fact that we have that kind of craft, that kind of moment, that kind of honesty from an actor in a movie, that needs to be discussed in a intelligent, mature way, not with the intent of making your friends crack up. I think that's it's a damn shame, Ben. It's a damn shame.
Nuh-uh.
Hashtag poop emojis.
Deadpool for Best Picture.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com.